All right. Brother Phil, share what the Lord has laid on your heart.
Good morning.
Morning.
It amazes me the way the Sunday school lesson kind of covered some of the things. So that's good. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, it says, "Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." The Apostle Paul is talking about the children of Israel. They're leaving Egypt. They're wandering in the wilderness. And he says, these things happen for our examples and for our admonition. Now, since Adam and Eve took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, human nature hasn't changed. Because of that, over thousands of years, there's many examples. And you can go back and you can look at them, and it's like the nature they had there. And you see people today that behave the exact same way. It's like, yep, there are examples. There's many parallels between leaving Egypt and between the new birth and following Christ. It's set up as parallels to teach us lessons. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that we can gather together here this morning to learn from your word. Pray that you would guide us. Pray that you would grant me wisdom and ability to present your word, and pray that we would hear it, we would understand it, and that we might please you. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to be talking this morning about leaving Egypt. There's going to be a lot in Exodus, going back and forth between that and the New Testament, showing some of the parallels. Start out in Exodus chapter 1. Starting in verse 8. "Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass, that when there falleth out any war, that they join also unto our enemies, and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar, and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them to serve was with rigor." With rigor is like severity or cruelty. Now note the intention of the Egyptians here. The Egyptians didn't set out to build cities and enlist the help of the children of Israel. Okay? The goal they set out with was to oppress the children of Israel. Okay, now any good employer is going to take care of his employees.
Right.
Because when he takes care of them, they're more motivated to work and he gets more benefit. But what would it be like if you worked for a boss who didn't want to get any benefit from you? His whole goal was to make you miserable. That would be awful. You know what Satan's intentions are? Satan isn't trying to accomplish some grand plan, okay? He already knows he can't beat God. All he wants to do is just keep as many people ruined as he can.
Right.
Keep them in bondage. In Egypt, it's typical of the world,
right,
of the carnal man. And so when God brings them out of Egypt, that's a type of us leaving sin, leaving the carnal world. Romans chapter 6. Verse 17. "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? What was the benefit? Okay? For the end of those things is death.
Right.
That was the whole goal, the whole point. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now we can easily see there how that corresponds.
Yes.
The benefit for the children of Israel in Egypt was you die in bondage. The benefit of the carnal man is you die. There's no fruit. There's no production there. Nothing good comes of it. Let's go into Exodus chapter 5. Afterwards, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." And they said, "The God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword." Okay, they have to leave Egypt to serve God. That was a fundamental principle here. God said, "I will not accept you worshiping me in Egypt. You have to come out first."
Right, right.
Back over to Romans chapter 8, verse 5. "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." Okay? If you're going to serve God, you have to leave the carnal mind behind.
Right, right.
Just like they had to leave Egypt. Go on to chapter 6, verse 5. "And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgment. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. And I will bring you unto the land concerning which I did swear to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it you for an inheritance. I am the Lord." And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. They're so burdened by their sin, they don't even have time to think about God. Notice it was Pharaoh's doing. He kept them busy.
Yeah.
Worked them so hard. He said, "Because they're idle, therefore they want to leave. Therefore I'll keep them busy." You know, Satan knows that same tactic.
Yes. Yeah.
Let's keep them busy with sin. And so long as they're busy, they don't have time to think about leaving and seeing what, you know, God's all about.
That's right.
Just think of the drunk man. So long as Satan can keep him drinking, there's no chance. He has to sober up and think about it. What about music? There's music that does the same thing.
Yep, that's right.
There's people that are so busy trying to pursue things, covetous, trying to get things that they don't have time to stop and, you know, think about it.
Right.
Is there more to life than this? Well, Satan wants to keep them there.
Yeah.
He tries to keep them wrapped up in self-pity. You know, I've just got things so bad that, well, did you think about what God wants you to do? Well, no, I just got it so bad that, you know, I... Well, come on, wake up, think about God a little bit.
Yeah, right.
You know, I'm amazed my wife got a letter not all that long ago from one of her friends. And it's a young lady, and she's talking about what she's done this past year. We went here and we had a good time over there, and we went there and we had a good time over here, and we went there and had a good... It's like, where's God? You know, did you slow down and think about it? Do you have any sober thoughts? Or is it just all, you know, you're having fun here and having fun there and whatnot? Well, the parable of the sower explains that.
Yes.
About the seed that fell among thorns and the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches choked it out.
Yes.
There just wasn't time.
Right.
It was just a busy mind, and there was no room for God. So let's move on to Exodus chapter 12. Verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. Okay, the time of the taking of the lamb marked the beginning of the year. The time of the taking of the name of Christ marks the beginning of a new life. Then down in verse 6, And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the house, wherein they shall eat it. Now this is a type of Christ, the type of His blood being applied to cover our sins so that when the death angel passed through, the firstborn did not have to die there. In verse 11, And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste, it is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment, I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the house where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now you take note how they were supposed to eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, ready to go and serve God. That's the way you have to accept Christ.
Amen.
You can't accept Christ and we'll just sit here and, you know, be comfortable. Remember, you've got to leave Egypt. You can't stay in Egypt and serve God. Second Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His, that's those who have the blood applied. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity.
Yes.
Just like the children of Israel leaving Egypt. Then on to chapter 13 and verse 17. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, Lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Now we notice, when you read through the history of the children of Israel, there's three things they often complained about. Food, water, and war. God sees this. Oh, take note, God's not interested in a shortcut. He knows the best way.
Amen.
But God sees this and He says, if they see war, they're going to turn back. Therefore, I've got a better idea. I'm going to send them around this way. Okay, now that's a very sobering thought when you feel discouraged. when you feel like it's just about more than you can handle, okay, God has already picked out a route that you can take.
Right.
He looks through and he says, he won't make it there. Okay, I'm going to send him around here. If you fail, it's your fault. God's doing his part. He wants to see you succeed.
Yes.
Okay? Many people get that mixed up and they assume that God is treating them the same way the Egyptians are. Like, no. God is trying. The road may be hard, but he knows you can make it. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Jeremiah 12:5, if thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? If you can't make it now, what about if persecution comes?
Good.
But God knows what you can handle. He won't suffer you to be tempted above what you're able. But many people still just feel that the road's just too hard. They wonder, why is God trying to destroy us? Well, let's keep reading. Exodus chapter 14. Verse 5. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot, and took his people with him, and he took 600 chosen chariots, and all the chariots of Egypt, and the captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen, and his army, and overtook them, encamped by the sea beside Pi-Hiroth, and before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Okay, now you find when you leave the world behind, when you say, no, I want to serve God. So you go and you start serving God, and then you find in your past you didn't do that. And some of the consequences of those decisions start to catch up with you.
Yeah.
It's like the Egyptians coming after you.
Right.
They're going to get you now. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness, wherefore hast thou dealt with us thus to carry us forth out of Egypt? What was God's intention? He brought us out to destroy us? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness? Human nature is still the same.
Right.
God brought them up out of Egypt, and they brought Egypt right along with them. As soon as things got tough, as soon as you're dealing with the consequences of things you've done in your past, it's like, why did I even bother to leave that if I was going to have to deal with the consequences of it? It's like, well, you've still got work to do. Okay, you're still going to have to get away from the Egyptians. And God's still going to have to get Egypt out of you.
Right.
You're going to have to learn to trust God. God is not trying to ruin you. He's trying to build you.
Right.
But how many people do that? They leave Egypt and take Egypt right along with them.
Yeah.
The Bible doesn't say I can't, therefore I can. What? TV, radio, country music, wear this, wear that, try this, try that. Why is God trying to destroy me? He's trying to get Egypt out of you.
Amen.
Okay? He's trying to teach you to trust Him. You know, it's amazing. Philippians 4:8. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And then you fill your mind with country music and wonder why you can't do it. Well, if you can't live up to Philippians 4:8 and listen to country music, guess what? That means the Bible said you mayn't.
Right.
But a lot of people are looking for a loophole so that they can maybe take a little bit of Egypt with them. Then you wonder why you can't please God.
Yeah.
That's what James is talking about when he said the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You have to give God all or you find him impossible to please. Matthew 6:22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye is single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. You know, there's many, many people that give up because of the stress of trying to serve two masters. They want both, and this is just not working out. I quit. It's like, well, if you would have followed the plan in the first place, you know, when you came out of the Red Sea, if you'd left the Egyptians back there, or if you'd have come out of, when you came out of Egypt before you got to the Red Sea, if you'd left the Egyptians behind and said, I'm going to serve God, I trust Him, that He's going to do what's best. They want to serve God in the world. But God knows it won't work. So God says one or the other. Remember, you leave Egypt if you want to serve God. Exodus chapter 16. Verse 1, and they took their journey from Elam, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elam and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Now, was it wrong for the children of Israel to eat bread to the full? Was it wrong for them to have the flesh pots? No, but that was in Egypt.
Right.
When you forsake the world and strive to serve Christ, you may have to leave behind some things that are not of themselves wrong.
Right.
But it's at the wrong place.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so God gives them manna to prove them. Down in verse 16, it goes on and explains that some more. And this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. Remember, God's proving them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said, Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you will bake today, and seize that you will seize, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning, as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath. Therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place, let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. Okay. Now God has given them specific instructions. You gather this every day. Don't keep over till tomorrow, because what you get today won't work for tomorrow. Okay? You have to have a daily relationship with God. You can't just cram a bunch in today and then we'll kind of skip tomorrow. No. Every day, it's got to be a relationship. God also sees if there's coming up a time when there's going to be a dry spell. Okay? You're going to be thrown into prison. You won't be able to have the fellowship of other believers. You won't be able to have a Bible. And God will provide for you. But if you want to try that when God has provided, it's like, well, I'll just pretend I'm in prison and I won't go to church, you know, this Sunday because, you know, God will provide for me. No. God's given specific instructions. And there's a reason He wants you to follow. Remember, He knows what's best. He's trying to make sure you succeed. And verse 31 says, The house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like corridor seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. It tasted pretty good. God's word's not grievous.
Amen.
Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. What would have faith changed in the children of Israel? Would have they looked back and saw Pharaoh's army coming and said, Ha, the Red Sea's going to part. Would have they started to run out of bread and said, I think God's probably going to rain bread down from heaven. No. So what would have it changed? Well, there's two things that would have changed. It would have changed their attitude towards God.
Right.
And it would have changed God's attitude towards
right.
them.
Right.
Because in order to be a Christian, in order to follow God, and in order for the children of Israel to be successful here, they had to understand that God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him.
Right.
Yes. He's not the destroyer of those that follow Him. He's not the oppressor of those that are under Him. He's the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And if you don't have that foundation, you won't be a Christian.
Right.
Because that is basic. Let's go over to Numbers chapter 14. Look at several accounts here. Verse 2, And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, okay, remember the sword there, and that our wives and our children should be a prey. Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make us a captain, and let us return into Egypt. You know, it's amazing the way Satan does that. It doesn't matter what stress you're under. sinning would surely relieve it somehow. If you just turn your back on God, it'll all get better. Even if it's completely unrelated. It's
right.
Like, what's that got to do with it? I don't know, but it sure helps somehow.
Yeah.
You know, if we return back into Egypt, you mean where they beat you because you couldn't make enough bricks?
Come on.
Sin is a hard taskmaster. Then chapter 20, verse 4. And why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die here, there? And wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us in unto this evil place? Evil place? It's no place of seed or of figs or of vines or of pomegranates. Neither is there any water to drink. There's no food. There's no water. The sword's trying to get us. This is just a miserable life. Well, have you forgotten about Egypt yet? It's about time you do. Then over to chapter 21, verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the sore of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this light bread. You mean the stuff that tastes like wafers made with honey? Yeah, we're tired of it. You haven't learned yet. Well, I don't know how many hundreds of years later, but let's go to Jeremiah. Chapter 42. Verse 1. Then all the captains of the forces, and Johanan, the son of Kareah, and Jezaniah, the son of Hoshaiah, and all the people from the least even unto the greatest came near and said unto Jeremiah the prophet, Let we beseech thee, our supplication be acceptable before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God ever for all this remnant, for we are left but a few of many as thine eye do behold us, that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk and the thing that we may do. Now the children of Israel sinned. And God brought the Babylonians in to judge them. Jerusalem was destroyed. Many of the people were slain. Some were carried off to Babylon. There's a few left here. The king of Babylon appoints Gedaliah the governor. Someone kills him. Now the Jews are afraid. Is Nebuchadnezzar going to come and wipe us all out? What's he going to do to us now? Because somebody's slain the governor. So they go to Jeremiah and ask him for counsel. Go down to verse 7. And it came to pass, after 10 days, that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. Then called he Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces, which were with him, and all the people from the least to the greatest, and said unto them, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto whom ye sent me to present your supplication before him. If ye will still abide in this land, then I will build you and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I repent me of the evil that I have done unto you. Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom ye are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you to save you, and to deliver you from his hand. And I will show mercies unto you, that he may have mercy upon you, and cause you to return to your own land. But if ye say, We will not dwell in the land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, saying, No, but we will go into the land of Egypt. We've heard that before. Where we shall see no war, hear no sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger of bread, and there will we dwell. Now therefore hear the word of the Lord, you remnant of Judah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, If ye wholly set your faces to enter into Egypt, and go to sojourn there, then it shall come to pass that the sword which ye feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt, and the famine whereof ye were afraid, and shall follow close after you there in Egypt, and there ye shall die, returning again to bondage. But there's something significant about that. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. In verse 5, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto the children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Okay. Here in Jeremiah, God rebuked the children of Israel for their idolatry. He chastened them, and they fainted. So you're trying to be a Christian. You're trying to serve God, and you get rebuked. You get chastened. It's like, I give up. I just returned back into Egypt where I didn't see the sword. There wasn't any famine. You still haven't gotten out of Egypt, have you? Or gotten Egypt out of you? You still didn't get that foundation set down that God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You still look at God as a hard taskmaster like they were there in Egypt trying to destroy you. So the story goes on in Jeremiah chapter 44, verse 16. This is interesting, so pay close attention. The children of Israel took Jeremiah. They went down into Egypt. Jeremiah reproves them. And this is their response. As for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth, to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven, to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done. We and our fathers, our kings and our princes, in the cities of Judah, and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then had we plenty of victuals, and were well, and saw no evil. But since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things, and have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. Okay. Now there's two things in there that's very important. You know, they were offering drink offerings and such to the Queen of Heaven. But take note of the beginning of verse 17. But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth. And then verse 18. But since we left off to do whatsoever thing came out of our own mouth, we have wanted all things. Have you ever seen that attitude? Human nature is still the same. We will not do what you say the Lord told us to do. We will certainly do what comes out of our own mouth. Because when we do that, then everything goes well with us. When we try and follow God your way, then we've got all kinds of problems. Yeah, that's because you were getting somewhere. So what if it is hard to feed your family? What if it's hard to train your children? What if it's hard to stand alone and feel like the odd man out? It may be hard, but God offers a reward. Right. Satan only tries to keep you bound in your sins. Is it wrong to have friends? No. Is it wrong to have a good house? No. Is it wrong to have a good job? No. No, but anything you let come between you and your willingness to serve God is sin.
Right.
Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's start at verse 1 this time. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Okay, so this going through the Red Sea was a type of baptism. So you could say these people were baptized. And did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink of that same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. What evil things did they lust after? They just wanted to eat and wanted to be safe. Yeah, but if it's out of line with following God, it's evil.
Right.
Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall.
Amen.
You know, today we would say these people were church members.
Yeah.
They were baptized. They took communion. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. Why? Because they lacked that foundation. God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Somehow they began to think that, you know, God's kind of cheating us out of something here. No, God's chastening you. Now, taking your idols away wasn't cheating you.
Good.
How do you keep that from happening? Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. No matter where God leads, I'll follow. That's what it means to leave Egypt and not look back.
Amen.